So right now, I want you guys to grab your Bible, and I want to encourage you guys not to use your iPod or iTouch. If you have, fine, but you know, it's good to have a Bible. You know what I mean? It's good to have a Bible to hold on to. This is something that I treasure. I don't think you can really hold on to your iTouch and say, this is something that I treasure. You know, but you know, encourage you to grab a Bible with me. I want you guys to turn to Genesis chapter 12, and we will read from verse 1 to verse 9. And I'm going to turn to my Bible as well. Okay, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to verse 9. I know we have PowerPoints, you know, for this, but still, it's good to have your Bible handy as well. Okay? Let us read it together from verse 1. The Lord has said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent. And Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. The word of the Lord. All right. So today we begin a new sermon series called The Adventure with the Father of Faith. The Adventure with the Father of Faith, of which we will study the life of Abraham. All right. The life of Abraham. Now, this is a brand new series. And if you were here last Sunday, you probably have heard me mention that for this coming year, we'll focus more on the Old Testament. So for the next several months or so, we will be looking at Abraham's life and his story documented from Genesis chapter 12 all the way to Genesis 25. And before we go into details, let us consider these amazing facts about this man called Abraham, right? And if you're a note taker, a fast note taker, this is something for you to write down just for your reference. If not, just listen. Here's the first amazing fact. He's revered by the followers of three world religions: Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, right? So three religions will look to Abraham as their father or founder. In fact, in September 2002, Father Abraham made the front cover of Time magazine, featuring his role in these three religions. Second, he is a founder of the nation of Israel. So if you see the nation of Israel on the map, Abraham started it. You know, that's the reason why he's there. I mean, the country's there. Third, he is mentioned by name 308 times in the Old and the New Testaments combined. So he's a very, very popular, very important person, you know, in the Bible. Fourth, he is considered as the greatest man of faith in the Bible. Okay? And then last, he is a man whose life changed the course of the whole human history. So all in all, Abraham is a very important person, and there's no better biblical character to start our study of the Old Testament than this guy by the name of Abraham. In fact, one could say that outside of Jesus Christ, if we were to consider Paul as the most important person in the New Testament, then we can say the same for Abraham as the most important person in the Old Testament. And this is not an exaggeration. All right, I'm not exaggerating this. Listen to how the New Testament begins. If you have a Bible, turn to the very first verse of the New Testament. Ted, don't show the PowerPoints yet. Okay? Or he had already. He hadn't. Okay? Go to the very first. Shout it out to me. First verse of the Bible, of the New Testament, where is it? You guys don't know where the first book of the Bible in the New Testament? Matthew, all right. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, just the very first verse. Go there. All right? And then I'll read it to you. All right? Listen to how the New Testament begins. It says, you know, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, and the son of what? Abraham. In other words, when Matthew, the writer, wants to help us to see the significance of Jesus Christ, he links Jesus first with the greatest king ever, David, and then with the founder of Israel, Abraham. So this shows us how significant Abraham is in the whole biblical story. Okay? Now, before we look at the verses in detail, let me first set it up so that we know the historical background of the passage. And to do that, we need to go back to 4,000 years earlier and to a place called the Ur of the Chaldeans, which was a large city on the banks of the Euphrates River. Okay? And you can see from the map where the city was situated, you know, on the far right down there. You guys see that? And the Euphrates River is that little, you know, like little like bluish thing there. It still exists today. And it flows from, you know, through modern day Iraq all the way into the Persian Gulf. And the verse before this passage tells us that Abraham was from there. He was from Ur. Genesis chapter 11, verse 31 says, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Okay, you guys see that? Now, historians tell us that Ur was one of the most important cities in the ancient world. In fact, during Abraham's day, the population was about 300,000 people. Now, that might not seem a lot to us, but back in those days, that's a huge city. And the city was well known as a center of mathematics, astronomy, and international commerce in those days. So in many ways, if we were to think about the city Ur, we can almost equate Ur as the modern cities like New York, or like Shanghai, or like London, for example. But at the same time, Ur was also the center of a, you know, of great pagan worship. Archaeologists would tell us that most people who lived in the city during that time, they would worship this moon goddess called Nanna. So in many ways, we can safely assume that Abraham's family, they were idol worshippers, and so was Abraham himself. Now, what else do we know about Abraham? Well, from the passage we have here, we know that he's about 75 years old, and in those days, that would be considered as middle age. He's a successful business person who had accumulated great wealth, and he's well known to many people. And then he's married to his wife, Sarah, but they don't have any kids. But as far as we know, Abraham is not looking for God at all. He was not looking for God. But even though he wasn't looking for God, God was looking for him. And that's the most important thing about this story, that God was looking for Abraham, and then he found him, and then he called him. All right? Now, let's look at this call specifically. Let's go to verse 1 to 3. Again, let me read it to you. Verse 1 to 3 says, "The Lord has said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Now, some people have called this three verses right here the most important three verses in the whole Bible, right? Because everything else that comes after this passage, all the way through the Old Testament, you know, to the coming of the Messiah, you know, to the rise of the church, or even to the second coming of Christ, all these things flow out of these three verses. And I won't spend the time to really unpack, you know, what they are, but let's focus on this one thought. God found Abraham while he was still an idolater living in a pagan land. That's really the focus here. He wasn't looking for God, but God was looking for him. And that's huge. That's huge. You know, a lot of times we hear people say, "Hey, I found God. I found the Lord." True, but he's the one who found you first. The Bible says salvation begins with God, not with us. You know, God always makes the first move. He's always the one taking the initiative to find us and to reach out to us. And that's why the Bible says God so loved the world that He what? He sent His one and only Son to us. And that's why the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, we were not looking for God. Christ died for us. God always makes the first move. Having said that, look at the second part of verse 3, where it says, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You guys see that? I highlighted it for you. And this promise about, you know, God using Abraham to bless other people, this promise is not confined only to Abraham's day, you know, only to Abraham's generation, but to all the people from all generations, even to us and to future generations as well. All of them will be blessed because God had promised Abraham that He will do that. Now, that's a pretty amazing promise if you think about it. I mean, how would a man like Abraham, who lived 4,000 years ago, can be a blessing even to us? What do you guys think? I mean, think about that. How can a man like that, a man from the ancient world, still be a blessing to us? Well, I already gave you guys a hint earlier. It's found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Again, what does it say about Jesus? He says, He is a son of Abraham. So this means Abraham himself is not the blessing. He's not the blessing. But all the world will be blessed through his descendant, who will then be born 2,000 years later in Bethlehem. Isn't it amazing how the Old Testament and the New Testament kind of connected together that way? So that's the first thing we see. Now let's move on to the next two verses, where we see Abraham's obedience. Abraham's obedience. Again, what God asked of Abraham was something that requires a lot of faith. And most likely, he probably didn't even have a clue, you know, of what God was talking about. Go back to verse 1 again with me, and look at what exactly is God asking Abraham to do. Just take a look. Go back to verse 1. He says, you are to leave your country, you are to leave your people, you are to leave your household, and you are to go to this land that I have promised you. This land that you have never heard of. I mean, just think about what that means if we put ourselves in his shoes. What would you do if you were Abraham? You know, you're at the prime of your life. You have a good job. You know, you have saved some amount, you know, for retirement. And then you have made some really cool friends. You know, your neighbors respect you. You know, and you have a home, a beautiful home, you know, with kids. And you are an upstanding, valuable, you know, person in the community. And you have a good future ahead of you. And the last thing you ever think about is to move. But here now, a God whom you just met wants you to leave everything to Him. He wants you to leave your family. He wants you to leave your friend, your country, your home, your business, your security, your comfort. And He wants you to give up all these things to Him. And He wants you to trust Him and to go to a place that you have never heard of in your life. I mean, just think about that. That's crazy. Would you do that? If God were to, you know, come out of the blue and call you to do that, as what He asked for Abraham? You know, when God opened the door for me to come down here to Seattle to serve as a pastor, at least I knew where Seattle was, right? At least I could speak the language and be among you guys who are, you know, in similar backgrounds. Or at least I could even, you know, come here and taste the good Taiwanese food that some of the moms make, you know, in Taiwanese congregation. But not Abraham. He was being asked to give up everything. Do you guys realize that? In order to follow God's call. I mean, just imagine the dialogue between Abraham and God when this took place. I mean, just imagine this. Abraham, this is God speaking to you. I want you to leave everything and go to the land that you have never heard of. Okay? So where do you want me to go? If I told you, you wouldn't believe me. Well, why don't you try me, God? Let's see if I know the place. Well, it's about 1,500 miles from here. It's a place called Canaan. Yeah, I don't think I heard of it before. And guess what else? What? I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. That's not possible, God. I don't have any kids. Well, don't worry about it. What do you mean, don't worry about it? Just trust me. Okay, so God, let me see if I get this straight. You want me to give up everything that I know and you want me to give up my family, my home, my business, and you want me to travel across the desert to this place that I've never heard of, and you want me to, and you want to make me into a father of a great nation. That's right. You must be joking, right, God? No, I'm not. Well, I'm going to tell Sarah, my wife. Well, that's your problem. You know, like, I mean, just imagine if that's the kind of like dialogue that happened between Abraham and God. He had to give up everything and to trust him. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. You don't have to go there, you know, Bible, just look at the PowerPoint. It describes the call of Abraham this way. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. I mean, did you get that? He did not know where he was going. Now, that always happens if we want to take God seriously in our lives. There will be times in our lives where God will call us out of the blue and we will be in the same place as Abraham. That we cannot do much but to trust him and to leave him, you know, with the results while not knowing what the future holds. You know, it could be, for some of you guys, it could be a relocation. You guys move from a different, you know, place to a different place. Or it could be going to a new school. Or it could be graduating from a school. Or it could be a career change. Or maybe a sudden illness. Or it could be a new relationship. Or perhaps God may be calling you to give up certain things in your life. Maybe he's asking you to give up, you know, an abusive or unhealthy relationship that you're in. Or maybe he's asking you to give up a pattern of behavior that is detrimental to your spiritual health. Or maybe he's calling you to give up a certain type of commitment that you have going on so that you can focus more what's more important on God's plate. No matter what may be, when God calls a person, we rarely see the big picture. And even if we think we see it, we don't. And God doesn't always explain himself to us. He would always just tell us enough to kind of get us moving to a certain direction. But he says, you are to trust me, and your job is to leave the rest to me. And this is one of the reasons why Abraham was considered as the great man of faith. Again, Hebrews 11:8 says, he obeyed and he went. You know, he may have doubts. He may have argued with God. He may have thought about it many times. But at the end, guess what? He obeyed and he went. When God calls, the only proper response we have is to obey and to go. When he says, child, come and follow my lead, he's asking us to change seats with him and let him do the driving. That's what God does with us. So that in these two verses, we see Abraham's obedience. Now let's go to the last three verses in our passage today, where we see Abraham's worship. Again, looking at the map, we see that his journey from Ur took him north to Haran, which is about 800 miles, you know, north of Ur, and then another 700 miles to Canaan. And then when he finally arrived at the place called Shechem, which is in an area where we call the West Bank in Israel today, the Bible tells us that the Canaanites were in the land. You guys see that? The Canaanites were in the land. Now, just think about it. The Canaanites, they were in the land. The Canaanites. What do we know about the Canaanites? They were known in the Bible as the sworn enemies of Israel. And if you read through the Old Testament, you will see how this group of people causes so much headaches, you know, for the Israelites. And when Abraham arrives in the Promised Land, and that's the first people he meets, pagan idol worshippers. I mean, just think about how difficult it must have been for him to stay true to God. You know, I can imagine this is what was going through his mind before and after he reached there. You know, before he went to Abraham, he was like, okay, this God just asked me to move away from my country. And it's a country that is filled with pagan worship. You know, people in our town, in our city, we worship this goddess. And maybe moving to Canaan is a great new start for me. You know, a fresh start where I can take root and I can establish my family. And I can be devoted to God. But then when he actually arrived in Canaan, all he saw was the Canaanites worshiping other idols. I mean, just imagine his reaction. Jeez, what gives? Why did you bring me from a pagan land to another pagan land? Right? It doesn't seem to add up. So the Canaanites were there. Now, going back to the verses with me, we see that after he arrived in Canaan, the Lord appeared to him again. And then he said to him and reaffirmed his promise. He said in verse 7, to your offspring I will give this land. And what did Abraham do? Guys, what did he do after the Lord said this? He built an altar to what? To worship him. And then he traveled a bit further south. And then again, between Bethel and Ai, he built another altar. And the Bible says that he called on the name of the Lord. And then finally, as our passage ends, we see Abraham is on the move again. This time, he traveled further south towards the Negev desert, where he will then make his home in this place called Beersheba. Now, aside from Abraham's traveling plan or his itinerary, let's focus on this one thought. Abraham's first act in the promised land was worship. And that's the most significant biblical truth here. And that is, faith in God will always lead us to worship Him. Faith in God will always lead us to worship Him. I don't know about you guys, but I find that oftentimes when we hear God's calling, could be, you know, just this nudge in our hearts, and something new is about to happen, we get so motivated, we get so excited, you know, and we're like, you know, like we're thinking that such call or such happening is going to lead us to something great and wonderful. And perhaps, you know, he has opened a door to lead you to a brand new field of work, perhaps. Or perhaps, you know, he has orchestrated people and events in your life, and you're now plugged into this new church or this new fellowship. Or perhaps, you know, God has given you the burden to serve in a different way in the church than you ever served before in the past. Or maybe he has made you a parent, and he has blessed you with a kid or with children. And when things like that happen, we get so pumped up, right? We're anticipating this great thing that's going to happen. But the truth of the matter is, when we follow God's call in our life, while it's all exciting and everything, His ultimate goal is to lead us to Himself. His ultimate goal is to lead us to Himself. And Abraham, he modeled this for us. You know, I can almost imagine the conversations he had with his neighbor before he left. Hey, Abe! What's up? Why are you packing? Well, I'm moving. Well, where are you moving? Where are you moving to? Well, I don't really know, actually. Well, what will you do when you get there? Well, that I'm not quite sure as well. Then why are you moving? Because God told me to. So you must be joking, right? God move, you know, asked you to move everything that you have, and you don't even know where you're going? Well, it's not like that. You see, when I follow God, I may not know all the coordinates, but I know that He is with me, and He will lead me where He wants me to go. You know, it has been said that it is better to follow the Lord and not know exactly where you're going than to think that you know where you're going, but not following the Lord at all. Let me say that again. It is better to follow the Lord and not know exactly where you're going than to think that you know where you're going, but not following God at all. Abraham, he did not know anything or the specific plans God had for his life. But he had the assurance of God because of his obedience. God said to him, I will bless you. You guys see that in the passage? He said, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing to others. I mean, isn't that what we want in our lives? We want the blessings from God and we want to be a blessing to others. And like Abraham, God is constantly calling you and calling me from where we are. And He's always saying to us, lose your life for me and for the sake of the gospel. Leave your comfort zones. Leave your family, leave your familiarity, and step into a life of faith. And when you do that, you will find me, and I will show you how to be a blessing to others. So in closing, I would like you to consider three questions. as a way to respond to what you heard today. And it goes without saying that all of us who have placed our trust in Jesus Christ wanted to know His will in our life. True? Who here wants to know God's plan in your life? Raise your hands. I do too. You know, I'm so searching as well. But as you think about this, think about these three questions. Here's the first question. What comfort zone may God be calling you to leave behind in order for you to pursue His will? Can you answer that? What comfort zone may God be calling you right now to leave behind in order that you will pursue His will? Here's the second question. If you sense that God is doing that in your life, here's the second question. What frightens you about His call? It's kind of scary sometimes, not knowing what's ahead of us, right? What frightens you? What scares you about it? And here's the third question. In what ways have you resisted God's willingness to bless you? In what ways have you resisted God's willingness to bless you? You see, God wants to give us an abundant life, not a miserable one. He wants to bless us, and He wants to use us to bless others. So have you, for whatever reason, resisted receiving His blessings in your life? And if so, I want you to name them. Again, three questions. Comfort zone, leaving behind. Second question, what are you scared of right now when you think about God's call? And in what ways have you resisted God's willingness to bless you? You know, when I think about the story of Abraham, about the call of Abraham, I think this is what comes down to it. It's about a lesson of let God and let go. That's ultimately what faith is about. Let God and let go. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank You for Your word. And we know that as human beings, we don't know what the future holds for us. But that's okay. Because You're there for us. And Lord, through the story that we heard today, we ask that You would just speak to us. And Lord, help us to surrender of the things that we hold on so dearly into our lives. Help us to listen to You. Perhaps we're changing our career. Perhaps we're just transitioning into this new life of parenthood. Or perhaps we're still in school, or we're trying to figure out what we want to study. Or perhaps we're in a relationship with another person, but it's not really going the way that we plan. Or maybe perhaps the calling is really about us trying to know You. So no matter where we're at, Lord, speak to us. We're so busy in our lives. But Lord, in this quiet moment, will You talk to us? Thank You, Lord.